Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
I can't begin to tell you guys the value of a good night's sleep. It changed my life when I changed my sleeping habits. And HelixSleep.com/Fightful was a part of that before we even did business with them. I wanted to find a new mattress and I wanted to make sure I had the one that was right for me. I went to HelixSleep.com, I took their sleep quiz, got matched up to one of their models, and it's taken me from just a back sleeper to also a side sleeper, which gets me a better night's sleep in general. They have a 100-night risk-free trial. If you want to send it back, they'll come get it. They've got flexible financing plans. They've always got great deals over at HelixSleep.com/Fightful. Ideally, you're spending at least one-third of your life in your bed. Make sure that you invest in your sleep. It's something that you're using a great portion of your life. You want to check them out. They've got a 10 to 15 year warranty, free U.S. shipping with quick, no contact delivery. Setup is so easy, and they got 30,000 plus 5-star reviews at HelixSleep.com/Fightful. What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. It is August 31st, 2024. We are post WWE Bash in Berlin. We're not worried about bashing. We're not worried about any of that. This is what we're worried about.
Oh, dog.
Don't do this, baby. Oh, baby. I brought it.
I thought this was a professional space. I was here with a respected journalist. You've received cheese from the WWE, yeah. And this is how you treat me? You try to oil me up? You catching me off guard like this?
Do you see how I conduct myself on Twitter? This is nothing, nothing resembling a professional situation. We got the oil. We're ready to go. We're ready to clog some pores on the Fightful post show. We got Mr. Santi Zap. Man,
Wonderful to see you. It's wonderful to have you on the show. Something we had discussed a little while back. So glad we could make it happen.
No, I'm glad we were able to make it happen. Like you said, it's been a few months in the making. This was a perfect, kind of like perfect storm. We neither of us went to the show. It's a perfect time, like in terms of like when the show is ending. It's so nice to still be able to have the rest of the night to be able make content, enjoy the night. So yeah, it's just, we're getting spoiled with these afternoon PLEs.
Oh, brother, I get to watch a college football game and go to the movies tonight after this. My God. And yet we had talked about this a couple months ago, but unfortunately, you and I have been going outside for a little while.
Touching grass.
Unfortunately, there was grass to be touched. And listen, we are very fortunate that so many wonderful people are not touching grass right now. Or if you are, you're doing it with a phone in your hand, hopefully. Leave a thumbs up, subscribe, all that good stuff. We have interviews, we have news shows, we have nightly post-show podcasts over here, whether it's Raw, SmackDown, Collision, ROH, and TNA. For some reason, we do reviews of those as well. Dynamite, we have Grapsody. This week, we interviewed Bryan Danielson, Mariah May, Jade Cargill, Maven, tons of cool stuff over at Fightful, whether it be on YouTube or Fightful.com. I'll tell you about Fightful Select and brag about that later. If you're here and you want your question or statement read on the air, donate a super chat here on YouTube, or you can go to humperchats.com. Yes, that is hump, like a camel's hump. There's no other context in which we would ever say hump, but you can send chats there as well. Mr. Santizab, what'd you think of the show? I know you were just live streaming as well. How'd you feel about this show overall?
I'd be very curious how I would feel about this show if it'd be different, if it was in front of a different crowd, if it was in front of a traditional North American crowd. Would I feel less positive about it? Because I do think it was a predictable show, fun show, good matches, but that crowd helped carry a lot. It really, really did. I think I'm starting to lean towards the BPLE, Sean, being in front of these hot crowds, because it takes PLEs that might go under the radar and might seem a little bit predictable, and it helps elevate them. Because I feel the same way about Backlash as I do to this, as well as Clash of the Castle.
So like the rap on these international shows, especially when they were international, and I put in air quotes, pay-per-views, back in our day of like Mayhem in Manchester and Rebellion, you would see some like cool matches on there, but they would be like house shows with the cameras rolling a lot of times. I won't go as far as to say that, but there were definitely some tones of that on this show. There wasn't much here that blew my doors off, but I enjoyed watching the show. Like, I had a good time watching it. The crowd was good, per usual. I'm glad Ludwig Kaiser got on the show. There's some positives to this show that I really am looking forward to talking about. Let's go ahead and get into it. We have a super chat from Liz is saying wrestling is awesome, incredible, all in, great bash tonight. We still have No Mercy and All Out to come. Yeah, we got No Mercy tomorrow. We're going to have a scoops thread over on FightfulSelect.com, best $5 in the biz. I think we got the match order and producers coming for that as well, but All Out as well. Is it overloading you, or are you like, hell yeah, bring it on?
There's always this perfect storm of wrestling at the end of the summer. It happened last year too. I'm used to it. I think I am, but I do always come out on the other side, exhausted. I'm looking forward to it though, but I'm also looking forward to darn near month, like no September PLE from WWE, unless you count, of course, No Mercy, which is,
yeah,
it's like, but
going Chicago on Wednesday. I'm going to cover this combine. I'm going to probably beat Moose in like a vertical leap.
Of course.
Bench press, all that stuff. That should be fun. For those of you who want to check that out on Chris Van Vliet's channel on Wednesday, that will be a lot of fun. But we got Bash in Berlin. FightfulSelect.com, best $5 in the business, broke the news this morning that Cody Rhodes would kick off this show with Kevin Owens. So last night they had done this thing where they were like, his knee, is it, isn't it? I kind of like how Michael Cole played it up. He's like, yeah, I'm not buying it. He's like, more people would probably be talking about it if it was real. But what I loved about this build was they did this video about the friendship between Cody Rhodes and Kevin Owens, which is legit. Like, when I was covering Cody Rhodes moving from AEW to WWE, legitimately a thing that somebody told me was that Kevin Owens helped Cody Rhodes get into like some element of Disneyland. I don't know what the club is or whatever the hell that is. Maybe some Disney fans can let me know. But like, they have been long-term friends. Like, they have, Kevin Owens was very excited for Cody to make that leap from AEW to WWE. One of his biggest proponents. Obviously, they're teasing a turn here. Were you disappointed that one didn't happen? Or was it like one of those things where the swerve was no swerve?
I think you hit it right there on the head. The swerve was no swerve. I do think that I've now become accustomed to not expect the swerve when the swerve would typically happen under different regimes. You know what I'm saying? Like, if there were other people in charge, they're like, Kevin Owens is turning heel. Like, I've seen this song and dance enough times. But now with Triple H, you know, we've had enough years under our belt to kind of sniff it out to understand that he's going to stretch this out probably for a while. This will likely be our program for Bad Blood potentially, although they mentioned Solo Sikoa being up next. But no, I was never on the bandwagon that this was going to happen. In my mind, I figured that the story narrative, which it ended up being true of this match, was going to be, can Kevin Owens tap into the prize fighter? Can Kevin Owens tap into the vicious version of himself to actually use the knee as an advantage to pick up the victory? I like that narrative that they told in the match. And I do believe that it's that narrative that will eventually lead us to the heel turn. It just, I feel it would have been a little bit too ham-fisted if they went through the entire narrative of him trying to tap into the prize fighter, losing, and then the heel turn. Because it would have been like, oh, why didn't you just do it during the match when you hadn't lost?
The interesting element of this was, I like that Kevin Owens, even though he's clearly trying to be a better person, he's one of the few people that actually watches WWE programming on the show. And I don't mean like pays attention. I mean like he clearly goes home and watches the show. Not Kevin Steen, the man. Kevin Owens, the character. Because he knows all the tropes. He knows all the things that are supposed to happen. And he was a little, I would say, quite unapologetic about attacking all of those people. He was like, you know, they all had it coming. They all kind of deserved it. And then in this match, we saw him go a little bit Ospreay there, where Ospreay wouldn't do the Tiger Driver. Kevin Owens has apron bombed an awful lot of those people. Like, a whole segment of that video got it. And then when it came to doing it to his buddy, it's almost like he said, well, he doesn't deserve it, though. Even though I want to win this championship, he doesn't deserve it. In that sense, does it ever take you out of the match when something like that happens with the stakes associated? Because for me, I can tell you, I personally looked at it and I was like, well, when you win when you're going after the world championship, I mean, it's a legal move. It's not against the rules or anything.
Sean, I played tight end in high school football. And one week we played a team that had a 115-pound girl opposite of me at defensive end.
Oh, no.
What, am I supposed to hold back?
Defensive end?
At
why?
Defensive end. Am I supposed to hold? Terrible team. Am I supposed to hold back all 220 pounds of me? Am I supposed to hold back? No, you're out there with
they
the parameters.
Safety? How big was the safety?
They were a small team. They were a tiny, tiny group. Oh, no. I destroyed them. I had to. It was what was put in front of me. They got on the field knowing what the rules of engagement were. And I feel like when I see this, when I see the stakes that are at play and Kevin Owens not pulling the trigger, knowing that Cody Rhodes signed up to be part of this, does take me out a little bit. You know, in my stream and in my watch along, I was screaming at the top of my lungs, you idiot, do it, da, da, da. You know, I was really getting invested into it. But when you try to peel the onions, and it does look a little bit ridiculous that a WWE superstar wouldn't have the killer instinct to pull the trigger.
Like, my Bengals almost won the Super Bowl a few years ago, and people were like, oh, would you want them to win on bad calls? I'm like, yes,
yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. Throw banana peels on the field. I don't care. I just want to buy myself that little replica ring as if I had anything to do with it. That's all I care about. I care about my team winning. I did rather enjoy the match. Like they played the hits, you know, there was the Crossroads Disaster Kick, Cody Cutter. I love the reaction for the Fisherman's Buster. I think
that was nice.
That move is so good. And they sold the knee quite a bit. They played it up, and Owens like did not want to attack the knee of Cody, but I enjoyed the way that the match played out, especially with these two as friends, save for that one moment. Cody gets the win. Any additional thoughts on this? Like how did this match sit with you as all was said and done?
It's like 95% positive. Like I have nitpicking is what I have. I think one of my nitpicks would be, was this a match deserving of the triple crossroads? You know, like I've been seeing Cody kind of saving that up for like those really, really big moments. Was this one of those? But again, that's just the mark in me being like, you should really save that for the big moments, Cody Rhodes. Who the hell am I to tell him when to pull that out? But there was a narrative within my community when we were watching. It's like, man, we're kind of just spamming the whole triple crossroads mantra. Hey, if Kevin Owens wasn't able to do the powerbomb on the apron, how come Cody Rhodes is able to do his triple crossroads? It's a bit of a dichotomy seeing Cody Rhodes being able to go deep and do the triple crossroads and Kevin Owens not being able to do some of his fundamental winning maneuvers. Again, this is the Mark Santi. Look, listen, Sean, there is a part of me that sometimes, you know, I let myself fully enjoy the show. That was the 95%. At SummerSlam, there's a kid beside me, all right? Kid goes, this is during Bayley and Nia Jax. Do you think that Tiffany Stratton is going to cash in? I go, they just introduced that briefcase. That's going to sell good merchandise. I think it'd be a little bit too early to cash in. I caught myself. I was like, I'm such a mark, bro.
I love it, man. Like, We don't go into this hating wrestling. And hey, unless you're Alex Palowski, who's doing the Sour Graps review on Fightful Select right now, and you guys want to check that out, I'll tell you what I mark out over a good headline, because I'm that guy. Kevin Owens gave us a good headline before this. He was interviewed and asked about CM Punk. And I've been waiting for this interview for quite a while, because I've long known Kevin Owens to be one of those guys that did not want CM Punk to come back, legitimately. Funny enough, Drew was also one of those people, and it's worked out great for him. But Kevin Owens was very transparent. He's like, we don't talk. We're not friends. If we have to work together, I'm sure we'll talk. But other than that, we're not friends. Then Drew was interviewed about Jack Perry, and he said, lovely lad, great guy.
Oh, that's amazing.
I just loved the two graphics, Kevin Owens on CM Punk. We're not friends. Drew McIntyre on Jack Perry. Lovely lad. We are a far cry from back in the day where you couldn't talk about anybody from another company. But now it's sort of second nature. Are you surprised that maybe some of these fences still haven't been mended with guys like Kevin Owens?
Yeah, I guess I...
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I am a little bit. I guess the truth is I don't know how destroyed the fences were to begin with. I don't know how like deep that actually runs. Like I've got coworkers that I don't talk to that I'm not friends with. But if all of a sudden I was in a working relationship with them, all of a sudden I'm good with them. So I don't know if it's like that or if it really is like, hey, like fences were completely destroyed. So it's tough for me to really give a perspective there. But I mean, these are working professionals, right? Like they portray these really emotional characters on TV. But I got to imagine to a degree, professionalism trumps all in the workplace.
Yeah, I don't see these two having issues like that. Like Kevin Owens is a pro. CM Punk has caused no issues whatsoever from what I understand. So all good on that front as of now. Van Twinblade says, whatever KO did, he was in the right. KO was always right. What movie are you going to see, Sean? Strange Darlings. I actually saw Rob Fee tweet about it, and I looked into it. I like horror movies that are not supernatural, that don't have zombies or ghosts or goblins. I want to believe that when I go home, whatever I see on the screen could plausibly happen to me. And based on some of the people I interact with on Twitter, yeah, it probably could. So Pat Faruga says, of course there wasn't a swerve. He's in AEW. Fair. Clever. Clever, friend.
Nice.
Clever. Jade Cargill, who we interviewed this week on Fightful, and Bianca Belair defeated Alba Fire and Isla Dawn. I really like this match. I think this, I felt personally like this was up there with her Chris Statlander match as Jade Cargill's best match of her career. Now, there's obviously not a gigantic sample size. There are obviously some other ingredients involved, but I thought that she did really good. I love that she does the jackhammer. Was there anything about this match that stood out to you that you did like, you didn't like?
It caught me off guard. One of the things that they did at Clash at the Castle, and again, this is the mark in me trying to connect dots and trying to find maybe dots to connect that might not necessarily be there, is I noticed, okay, all right, at Clash at the Castle, they let a couple Scots lose and then they let one of them win. Give the crowd what they want and what they expect to a degree. And I thought that without the Kevin Owens heel turn that we were going to get a Jade Cargill one. I figured if not this one, then that one. Catch them off guard with the rebound heel turn. I was expecting the Unholy Union to retain here. It did catch me off guard that that they lost here. I thought that this was going to be, at the very least, the beginnings of the breakup, miscommunication. I thought that Naomi was going to accidentally cost them the match, starting a rift between Naomi and Jade Cargill. So I probably overthought it. I think it is, you know, the ones with the most star power won. I will say, I do think it's the star power of Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill that are lifting the carcass of the women's tag titles to PLEs. Without those two, it doesn't get to PLEs.
Our great partners over at BetOnline AG, where you can bet online at on wrestling, did have Jade and Bianca favored. This was the closest line of any match on the show. Like Punk was favored, Damian Priest and Rhea Ripley were favored, and they weren't like monster favorites, but BetOnline AG did have Jade and Bianca favored to win. And it's always interesting to me when like BetOnline AG, for example, is betting on, or they have the odds set for a title change, because anything can happen. Because literally a week before this title had changed hands last time, it was not going to go to Alba and Isla. Like, it was a situation of circumstance and very unfortunate circumstance, obviously. And the fact that Alba Fire has been able to compete through all that is, first off, is amazing and commendable and greatly respected. I was bummed at the lack of reaction for them, but then they got in the ring and they were like, all right, you're going to make some noise. We're going to make sure that you make noise. And these two women killed it. Like, you know what you're getting when Bianca Belair's in the ring. we have seen that on a WrestleMania stage many times. Alba and Isla are still kind of getting their feet wet on PLEs, and they killed it. And what I especially liked was in this tag team environment, Santi, we got a lot of great double team moves.
Yes.
I love where they go wheelbarrow DDT, and now Bianca like pushes up with her feet into the wheelbarrow suplex. That is that shit I like. And Jade needed somebody to kind of help her along a little bit, show her the ropes. Even though she had been in the ring for a while, she had never been quite on the road like she is now. I thought all these women did a wonderful job. How did you see it as you watched it unfold?
I love that you mentioned all of the tag team maneuvers. It did feel like a red-blooded tag team match in that sense. It felt like both teams, especially like I could see the chemistry and effort being put forth by Bianca and Jade Cargill to make themselves feel more like a cohesive tag team as opposed to individuals that just overpower people. I expect that from Unholy Union. I think that they're fantastic. I love the gory bomb into like a DDT that they do and the backstabber into the Swanton. Like they've mastered the art of women's tag team wrestling. It's just about, like you said, getting their feet wet on the PLE. But I came out of that match screaming, what a fucking awesome finisher Bianca and Jade have. That is such a sick move.
I love it, man. Like, obviously, we got Bianca with the KOD. And, you know, Jade does a move that is very hit or miss in general and has been for a number of years. But together, they do things that just look devastating together. DNC Digital says, personally, I believe it'll be Bianca who turns. I kind of wouldn't mind to see that because we haven't quite seen Bianca Belair as a heel in the main roster. We have seen it outside of the main roster. I thought she did pretty good. She's also very easy to cheer for. And Jade has that demeanor. She is a natural heel, as pleasant as she is, IRL, as they say. She is such a natural heel. She looks like a superhero, but she could also look like a supervillain as well. She's natural with that, I feel like.
I'm with you. I have a really hard time seeing what this universe looks like with a heel Bianca Belair. To me, I feel like she's at the point where she's surpassed a level of popularity as a babyface with the fans that love her so much and everything that she does outside of the WWE that, like, I feel like it's a tougher sell to sell a heel Bianca at this point. I'm sure she'd be good at it than it would be to sell a heel Jade Cargill. I think if you just want to take the low-hanging fruit that will likely yield you fantastic results, I think it is heel Jade Cargill.
Jade Cargill, Bianca end up winning that. Again, I think it was right up there with the Chris Statlander match is one of Jade's best. Santi, when's the last time you were in a fist fight?
Oh, brother. Never. No, I'm just kidding. like grade five.
Okay. So in grade five in the schoolyard, did you make sure that as you were whooping this poor, probably eventual defensive end's ass, you made sure you went around and you touched every corner of that damn schoolyard? Unfortunately, even though you beat the brakes off of this poor dork right behind you, he was slapping everyone. Then he yanked you from behind, slapped that fourth one. Tough shit, little Santi Zap. You lose. That's a strap match.
I caught what you were putting down there. Bro, I was so lost in the rule set of this halfway through. I was like, wait, why did that reset it? Why is this not resetting it? I don't like it. It took me like halfway through the match because it's been for me so long since I've seen a four corner strap match in so long. I thought that like if you touch the corner and I touch the corner, that you'd lose that corner. But like, I guess it was about momentum and making contact. I don't know, man.
I remember when Savio and Stone Cold had a Caribbean strap match and it was like that. And even then I was like, damn, really? Okay. I mean, I understand what they're doing here. they don't want the pinfall to happen yet. It'll probably happen. Bad blood, Hell in a Cell. Makes an awful lot of sense. I enjoyed this match more than the SummerSlam match. The tapping of the turnbuckles did take me out of it a little bit. And there were some like contradictory elements that made me say, okay, I understand the storytelling crutch here. And it's that at any time, CM Punk could have touched all those four corners and just won that match. But also, he didn't want to. They kind of wanted the excuse to whoop each other's ass. They didn't want it to be over in a 3-second thing. So the same thing that took me out of it sort of brought me into it as well in some senses. But ultimately, how do you feel about the stipulation as it's very clearly not the blow off?
Right. The stipulation only worked for me in the finishing sequence of CM Punk really like accentuating the beatdown of Drew McIntyre. That's when it worked for me, because outside of that, I wasn't a huge fan of it. I actually was enjoying the like first half of the match when the guys weren't even worried about the four corners. They were just beating the living piss out of each other on the outside and with the strap. It was when they started both focusing on the corners where I took myself out by asking too many questions, trying to understand the rules of this. But once Punk went with the overkill and hitting a GTS every corner that he hit, that's when I was on board. I was like, okay, I get it. Because Sean, one of my concerns going into this match is that the four corners win condition felt a little bit too game showy.
Yeah.
You know, when we're talking about a blood feud where two guys want to kill each other, where they probably want to win by knocking each other out, pin, submission, it felt a little bit game showy that you could win in a gimmicky way by just like going to the four corners and tapping it. And at some points it did feel that way with Punk doing the like from behind casual touching of the corners. It was in that final sequence where he was leaving Drew McIntyre dead, battered, and making sure that there was not an ounce of life left in him so that he could touch all four corners. That's when I got what they were trying to do with this match. But for a long time, I struggled with the message of the match.
Well, I can clearly see the direction this is going. Now, BetOnline AG had CM Punk as the favorite, our great partners. However, they did not set odds that CM Punk will kiss a friendship bracelet that was all over Drew McIntyre's ball sack about 3 minutes before. Because that's the natural next step.
Of course.
Drew McIntyre's going to be like, where do you think that was? That was all over my nuts. And CM Punk's going to get fired up. He's going to be like, ah. And then we're going to see the blow off, no pun intended, at Hell in a Cell. I probably wouldn't have done that. I probably wouldn't have smooched all up on the friendship bracelet. There's lots of germs, man.
Yeah.
There's just lots.
Yeah. Drew McIntyre, I saw him catch a sniff, you know, when he took the bracelet out. He took a quick whiff of that. Now, what guy doesn't do that from time to time? You know, just take a quick double take, all right? What's going on down there? I feel like we caught Drew McIntyre in 4K doing that.
Oh, we did. It was, I mean, that was all over Bro's balls. Steven says, who do you think wins match three, Punk or Drew? I think a lot of it depends on the direction of the top title after this, because it's hard for me to believe that whichever person emerges the winner of this feud won't be involved in a major title match. Now, I don't think Gunther is going to drop that title to CM Punk. Don't think he's going to drop it to Drew either, but I could see them headlining a PLE with Gunther versus CM Punk and CM Punk playing this underdog babyface type of thing, and possibly Drew still preventing him from even winning the title. How are you seeing this feud sort of culminating and perhaps a little bit of direction afterwards?
It's funny that you mentioned the world title. I think you're right, but I think that world title picture with Gunther almost becomes a pit stop, because I do think that the destination, the end game here, is either a triple threat or a one-on-one match between CM Punk and Seth Rollins at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's too early to start that. When you start that, when do you start planting seeds for that? You could say the seed has already blossomed.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated.
Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Long ago that there aren't any seeds that need planting. I think that CM Punk is winning this because Drew McIntyre, as we've seen, is far more capable of taking his character to next levels when he is on just a downward trajectory, when he's losing, when he's getting screwed over. He works it so well with his character that I think that I actually feel like he might benefit more on a character perspective if he were to lose this. I feel like to continue to see that deep descent into madness from Drew McIntyre is what I want to personally see. Continue to see that grudgy version of himself, the one that, you know, will put another man's friendship bracelet down his nutsack. I feel like a loss in Hell in a Cell to the CM Punk could really continue to help fan that flame for Drew McIntyre, while it allows Punk, you know, to stand tall and triumphant after 10 years in the WWE.
It's ironic that Hangman Page was sort of the catalyst for CM Punk's descent in AEW, because there are so many parallels between he and Drew McIntyre. A couple of guys that are perpetually over in the company, and guys who, like, as you mentioned with Drew, if Drew loses, oh my God, you're interested in how is he going to follow up? How will he take this? How mentally will he recover from something like this? And that's very clearly led to some of the best stuff in Hangman Page's career. And I think that Drew McIntyre is such an invested character, and we know so much about his story, about how he won the title finally, but it was during the pandemic. And then he won it again, but then immediately got it taken away from him. Ah, there are wins in losses, and I think that he's one of the best at that. It's
absolutely.
It's an art. It is an absolute art. An art is also in the manner of which Rhea Ripley garners engagement when she pins another human being. Because let me tell you, that gets plenty of shares, likes, retweets, all that good jam. That's what she did to Liv Morgan. Damian Priest and Rhea Ripley defeated Dominic and Liv. BetOnline AG had them as the favorites. I did too, because I don't think they're taking that title off of Liv anytime, or at least right now. And you got to give her give Rhea her win back, because she is massively over. Did this play out the way that you expected? Because I think this was probably one of the most crowd satisfactory elements of this show.
Yes. So in my predictions, I picked the Terror Twins here. My logic was they got to get their pound of flesh back after both of them getting screwed over at SummerSlam from the Judgment Day. And I feel like them taking another loss here would have really halted their momentum, both of them, because they're both tremendously over. Of course, Rhea Ripley is on the cusp of like uber mega superstardom within the WWE. Damian Priest really like working his way up there as well. And a loss here for the bootleg Judgment Day, like, really, here's the thing. It's not as if I was already convinced by them, and a win here with five of them once again ganging up on the two wouldn't have convinced me either way. This to me wasn't a match to get me to be convinced on the dangers of the new Judgment Day. I think to me all along, this was a match to see Rhea Ripley beat on Dominic Mysterio. Yes. I think that this was the like quick gratification that sometimes Triple H likes to take a really long time on doing without moving major pieces like titles from Liv Morgan back to Rhea, like blowing off on major story beats like Damian Priest and Finn Balor, where we're inevitably going to go. I felt like out of all of the matches that we had, this was about as exhibition match as it got. It was fun, though. I really like this.
And that's the unique element of how WWE has sort of reset the PLE method. They've done five or six matches on these shows, then like seven or eight on major ones. And as a result, I think it's been really brilliant what they've done, because let's be real. When Vince got that Fox deal, he did not give a shit what was on Fox after that. Like, you saw it in the quality. It was really terrible TV in 2019. And what WWE has done is land these big deals and then say, no, we're still going to stack SmackDown, even though it's going to be off of Fox in a couple of weeks. They are conditioning you to tune in and watch like big tag team title matches, big women's title matches on Raw and SmackDown, which I think they should do. They should absolutely do. Fightful Select will have some more news on that Raw Netflix move coming soon, by the way. But in doing this, like back in the day, like doing a non-title tag match on pay-per-view in the early 90s, like you would just sometimes see that. Like it wasn't uncommon to see that and people to be excited for it. And then by the time like 6-7 years ago happened, and even when it was Becky and Seth against Corbin and Lacey, it's like, what are we doing here? Why are we doing this? But now, like, this was a match that I was genuinely excited to see on this show. They had built me up emotionally over the last couple of years to want to see this all unfold. And then they get later in the match and they're still very clearly setting up to more Damian Priest and Finn Balor stuff, which I think is very smart because they get their win. The catalyst of all of this is make Rhea more popular, make Dominic more hated, get Liv over, get Damian over even more than he was as champion, and then supplement the Judgment Day as well. I think they're doing like a really, really good job of all these. And I'm not going to sit here and say Carlito's over, but he's more over than he was 5 or 6 months ago before he got involved with all of them. So I feel like it's benefited literally everybody involved so far.
I'm with you. So far, so good. And we're still just in the early portions. I mean, we're in the first inning, if you want to use some Paul Heymanisms here. I mean, this is the Triple H era, like storylines last multiple PLE cycles. We're still super early on. I'm still having a tough time seeing where this goes. Like what's like the major end of all of this? Is it just Rhea and Liv? Damian Finn, is that what we're working towards or something bigger in general? This is one that's got me intrigued because I'm having a tough time being able to read the writing on the wall. I will say, like, from the match perspective, this might be the most impressed I've been with Liv Morgan since becoming champion. She was pulling out some moves, brother. Like some stuff that why hasn't this been part of your repertoire the entire time? I like from a work rate perspective, I really enjoyed the match. Did I see the involvement of the Judgment Day coming? Yeah, sure. But it's more red shirts to beat up on. It's more red shirts to see cool moves on. Damian Priest launching JD McDonagh into oblivion through past the tables was great. So
his
good.
Leg folded underneath him briefly, like on the apron. Scary. And I was like, oh my God. Like it looked like for old school UFC fans, Gabriel Gonzaga knocking out Krokop and his leg just went underneath him. That's how I felt, but he recovered pretty quickly. He's an athletic guy. A big talking point of all this is, who's really the heels? Now we know that on screen, it's like Rhea and Damian are the baby faces. But when you look at who did what to who, all that Rhea did to Liv, you could argue that she strung along Dominic. But hey, listen, I should say this. I don't know if they ever like outright said they are boyfriend and girlfriend. And you're not owed physical currency in that point. You know what I mean? Listen, just because you beat up your dad doesn't mean you get to hook up with some woman. It's not the way that it works. If that was the case, there'd be a whole lot of dads getting their ass whipped in WWE. It's not the way that it works. Who do you like? As you look at this now, who's the asshole in this situation?
Oh, I mean, I've always said, and I stand by this, it's Rhea Ripley. Dominic Mysterio has done nothing wrong, Sean Ross Sapp. And any sort of thought, conversation that he's somehow the heel here, explain this to me. Like, the man made it clear. He loves video games, chick attendees, and he wanted to be called daddy. Who was providing said things? Woman B. Woman A was just abusing him, was just making him call her mommy, disrespecting him. To me, it's a story of a coming of age tale of Dominic Mysterio. Should he have, you know, maybe like texted Rhea about the breakup ahead of time? Maybe. Maybe he should have done that. He could have handled it better.
Maybe once in 3 months. Maybe once in 3 months.
Perhaps. I concede there. But when I look at the bigger picture, it's just my boy Dominic Mysterio trying to get his own.
Which does, you know, make me wonder, like, I don't know of any relationship I have ever been in where after not speaking with him for 3 months, I assumed we were still together. Like, I'm not sure. Like, at that point, you just, yeah, you're broken up. It's not going to work. It isn't going to continue to work there. I think that Dominic has made just incredible leaps, like on a personal level, like outside of what you all see on the screen. I've never heard of this guy complaining. I have never heard of this guy like holding it against people. He does a bunch of media with people who outright were like, this guy sucked. And what he did was he went and got better. They magnified that. You often hear accentuate the positive, hide the weaknesses. He had no positives. They just magnified the weaknesses and he got better. And I've long said this, like, even though, you know, there's the ties to Rey Mysterio and Eddie Guerrero, outside of the horrible shit that Art Barr did, I see him a lot like Art Barr, who was Eddie Guerrero's teammate in the early 90s. Like, there's so many like elements of that. And Art Barr was a really good on-screen heel in that sense. Just really good with all this. And DNC Digital asks, end with Rhea being champ or Rhea Dom Mania? It's hard for me to think they'll go full on Rhea versus Dom for any number of reasons. But do you think that's a possibility?
No, but I do think that there is a big climactic moment when she hits the riptide on him. They held that from us, actually, in this match. We didn't actually get that. I do think that that'll be a major like, ha, we won. But I don't think it would go as far as an entire match one-on-one.
Well, the ironic part of that is perhaps the reason that Dominic turned was because Rhea kept him from climactic moments.
It's possible. Yes. See, yeah, this is why you are who you are. Best $5 in the business.
This is cinema. This is cinema, as they say. Nicholas says, do you think Liv versus Rhea happens in a Hell in a Cell match at Bad Blood after tonight? What do you think main events Bad Blood? Oh, Cody's main eventing Bad Blood. And I think they should probably get one of the college school bands to play him out after that's become a popular thing this past weekend. Like, him getting played out with like horns and drums to like his hometown. I think that's the way that goes. Do you foresee, like, is there anything that like jumps off the page at you as main eventing Bad Blood right now?
It's funny. I think we're on separate pages here. I think it could be CM Punk, Drew McIntyre.
I think it could be. Yeah.
I think it could be. Out of curiosity, obviously this is so long ago and you can't really use this information as anything telling of today's programming, but every Bad Blood that I'm seeing here has been main evented by whatever Hell in a Cell match was scheduled there, whether it was for a title or not for a title. Bad Blood is just so synonymous with this. Of course, making the logical assumption that that's going to go Hell in a Cell, I'm going to say Drew and Punk.
I could also see them, instead of doing a women's Hell in a Cell and a men's Hell in a Cell, doing two men's Hell in a Cells. But yeah, that's a tough one because like it's Cody in his hometown, and then there is like the feud of this year as well. So, man, they have been in Europe all week long. They were in Berlin today. They're back in Denver tomorrow, but it doesn't matter where you are when you use NordVPN.
Are high pay-per-view prices getting to you? Maybe MLB blackouts, maybe the insane cost of Sunday ticket, whatever it might be. NordVPN.com/Fightful is here to help. You get NordVPN.com/Fightful. You change your virtual location with one click. Maybe you want to be in the West Coast when you can't watch a game on the East Coast. They got you covered. Maybe the pay-per-view prices are just too high or there's too many of them. Switch your virtual location overseas and get the prices that they're paying there.
NordVPN.com/Fightful does it all for you. And that's in addition to their password manager, their protection on public Wi-Fi, the ability to use it on all your devices, including your router, your TV. It doesn't matter. They've got you on all those. And a 30-day money-back guarantee. Maybe you're just feeling wild and you want to try it. Well, you know what? In 30 days, if you don't like it, spoiler, you will. You can get your money back. NordVPN.com/Fightful.
Check it out, guys. NordVPN.com/Fightful. And as always, check out FightfulSelect.com. Best $5 in the business if you're new here. Check it out. FightfulSelect.com. It's a Patreon platform. Provides a great percentage of the exclusive wrestling news that you see out there. In addition, I do Q&As every single week. We've got additional podcasts and post shows and a members-only Discord. $5 a month, $54 a year. We would greatly appreciate that support. I'm getting some notes from the post-show presser, and apparently Cody Rhodes was like almost immediately asked about the Vince McMahon documentary and Janelle Grant. I'm sure that went well. And the question also touched on the locker room being awfully silent on the allegations. Obviously, that's something we will cover after the show as I can get a little bit more context on it as well. Triple H did leave the presser early as his daughter is starting college and he's going to be a part of it. So it doesn't look like Triple H will be there. But by God, guys. You all are here. We're at the main event. Get your super chats. Get your humper chats in. We want to know what you think. As Randy Orton dropped the world championship match to Gunther, one of the things I liked about this, Santi, was how Randy Orton did not bullshit anything. He was like, first off, he did the pre-show and said, yeah, I found out about CM Punk coming back about an hour before the match. And, you can tell he got paid. He's got his 5-year deal because this man is just having fun in the ring. He's doing the wave with the crowd. He's also smart enough to know how to shut that down. When you see the wave going around the crowd, do you see it as fun or do you see it as a distraction? Because there's a fine line until it becomes the beach ball 10 years ago.
Yeah, it was the start of the match. I feel like the wave is justified. I think it was fine. I do love how Randy handled it all, though. If the wave was happening in the middle of the match, even like during rest holds or in the finishing sequence, I'd be like, okay, what are we doing here, folks? But yeah, it was when the crowd was supposed to have fun in that moment.
Well, then we got Randy Orton. Being a big goddamn hoss is what we got. This Dude. Was, I mean, if you would have told me 5 years ago, Walter would be doing a match struggling to powerbomb Randy Orton. Like Randy Orton's not a small fella, but he's a beefy son of a bitch now. And that's what like several minutes were based around was Gunther trying to hit the powerbomb, selling the arm. I mean, if you'd have told me a year ago that Randy Orton would ever do an RKO again, I might think that it was ridiculous. Like we covered that on FightfulSelect.com about the double fusion and all that. And throughout that process, when I would hear from him or people close to him, he's like, I'm coming back. Like it's going to happen. Coming back. And people close to him were like, yeah, he wants to, but should he? Well, it seems like being 290 pounds maybe works pretty well for his frame here because he busted out that RKO. It was a slow-paced match, but Gunther ends up getting the win. How'd you feel about this one?
I'm going to turn a question back to you just right off the rip. What did you like more, this or the King of the Ring final?
Well, I liked the King of the Ring final more until the finish.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. I like the King of the Ring final more in general. I just sort of felt like... The way I compared the King of the Ring final, it just sort of felt like two masters of the craft, two grandmaster chess players trying to out-duel and outplay each other, two supercomputers trying to outcode each other. This one was really different from that. It felt like it was staggered into like three major moments. The like 5 minutes spent on Gunther trying to powerbomb Randy, the Randy taking like 10 minutes to set up the two stairs for the big backdrop, and then the sequence of sleeper holds. I like them. I did, but I did feel like it left a lot to be desired in terms of actually seeing these two out duel each other in the ring, like what we got at King of the Ring. King of the Ring just sort of felt like a more like a better showcase of who was the better of the two, as opposed to this. I still really, really like this. I liked the match actually more before it devolved into like the major individual spots. Mm-hmm. But overall, I think it is the right winner. I'm glad that it's a win without any asterisks anymore. I felt like that was really important to make sure that we can solidify Gunther's championship reign. Overall, I was happy with the match, but it wasn't my favorite match of the night.
This felt like a very like 2009 WWE title match to me. Like, it was a lot more slower paced. And then we had, again, those moments, and not bad if it's like your type of thing, but they have also gone into the get choked out, drop the arm thing a lot, which I like. It's a legitimate method of victory. Same as like when people will be like, oh, well, he beat him with a roll-up pin or a crucifix pin. I don't care. The name of the game is pinning somebody, submitting somebody, or the ref stopping the match. It doesn't particularly bother me. I agree with you. I enjoyed the King of the Ring final more. Outside of that, you know, the wonky pin that they sort of had to, I don't want to say retcon, but they did use it to be a catalyst for this match to ever even happen. I feel like this could have been even better if this match would have happened at a different time, because I think it was a foregone conclusion who the winner was going to be in mm-hmm. this situation. And it felt like the whole way that the reason they did the match, despite Randy Orton being perpetually over, was, whoops, we screwed up at King of the Ring. Our bad. Here you go. I'm glad they made that a part of the story. But this match was like one of those things where I can't say that it was bad or anything.
No.
It was just, it happened. It existed. I had a decent time watching it. As someone says, where does Gunther's reign go from here? Not Cena. And who should Gunther's next opponent be? Also, in the name of professionalism, oil up.
Thank you.
I actually think it does go to Cena eventually. I think that Cena beats Gunther for the title. I mean, we're talking like full-on foreign heel yes! versus the American boy here.
Absolutely, man. I've been trying to evangelize and tell everybody that Gunther is like, especially those that weren't around, Gunther is the Cena villain. These are the people that Cena would overcome. Like, I'm sorry, it's happening. If you're a Gunther fan, it's Cena's beating Gunther at some point.
Oh, if they could have had Gunther in 1994, business would have turned around right then. John Cena's about to call up MJF and be like, hey, let me borrow those trunks. Can I borrow the hat? All that stuff. He is going to be out there waving flags and all that. Like, you're going to have every Olympian ever with him. He's going to go back and get Mia Hamm. He does. Everybody who's ever won an Olympic gold medal will be with John Cena, the American boy, winning his record-breaking title. And also, let's be real, Ric Flair has made it incredibly easy for them to be like, let's go ahead and get this record.
They're ready to move on. They are so ready to move on.
Let's go ahead and get this done. Like, I mean, for a while during that video, I was like, maybe they have Randy do it too. Like, maybe Randy wins the title a few more times and becomes number two as well, which I wouldn't hate. As FightfulSelect.com reported, he signed a new 5-year deal, 7 figures a year. My God, that dude is getting paid. But yeah, I think the Cena Gunther agenda later on, maybe at WrestleMania. I'm not putting it out of the realm of possibility that John Cena wins the Royal Rumble and challenges Gunther.
You're just saying all my favorite things. Yeah, you're just saying everything. Do you want me to come back? It feels like you're caressing me. Like, yes, Santi, oh, come, dude. You got the oil. Lather me up. I'm with you. I do think that that's where eventually the Gunther run is going to go. We talked about it earlier. I think that Gunther run will eventually take a detour in the Bermuda Triangle of CM Punk, Seth Rollins, Drew McIntyre in some capacity. And I see a world where they screw each other out of being able to beat Gunther, and that's how Gunther continues to propel on. But I do think that Gunther is just such the perfect prototypical Cena heel, that it's just, if that's the agenda, if the agenda is to make Cena the 17th, Gunther is just the perfect one to drop the title to Cena. You know, you mentioned something earlier. I hate to like the distract the conversation about when maybe Gunther versus Randy would have been better. Mm-hmm. Do you remember lead up? I think it was to WrestleMania 31. Everybody after Roman won the Rumble wanted Daniel Bryan. So they're like, okay, let's have Daniel Bryan take on Roman Reigns. I think it was Fastlane or Roadblock right before WrestleMania, just so that we can tell the world, see, he is better than Daniel Bryan. Maybe, by the way, that's WWE saying that. I would never say that. maybe it should have been Gunther versus Randy Orton before the SummerSlam match against Damian Priest. Just to get that monkey off the back immediately. And making it so that if we were to get Gunther versus Randy Orton down the line, it wouldn't be so predictable.
Yeah, I think this could have also been like a big time Raw or SmackDown match as well. Like, could have been enormous. This wasn't a super chat, but I want to read it. Person says, sorry, I'm cool with the number of matches WWE's doing now. I don't need 8 to 10 like AEW. That's a bit much. Buddy, I would throw a fucking parade if AEW only did 8 matches. I would throw a party. I would be so happy if AEW only did 8. I am completely fine with WWE doing 5 matches because it makes Raw more must-watch. It makes SmackDown more must-watch. It's a drum I've been beating for AEW for a long time. Stick to 7 or 8 matches, make Collision and Dynamite more watchable, more must-see, all that stuff.
Yeah.
As we wrap up the end of the match, they did shake hands. Were you surprised to see that? I mean, it's one of those things that made me go like, okay, but also considering geographical location, Gunther being the European boy, I get it.
I get it. Yeah, I think it was a situation of convenience of location. I don't think it happens anywhere else, but you're going to do it there. Leaves Gunther in the ring to be able, I don't know if you saw, but he cut a promo in German afterwards, right before the pre-show started. I think it's good. I think it's fine. And Randy Orton is the type of wrestler that a Gunther would respect. You have legacy, Randy. Randy, you're the best. Everything that you've ever done, you're amazing, right? So, like, it is the type of guy that Gunther probably would acknowledge as one of his equals, or somebody that's in the realm of being able to worthy to grace the mat, as he would say, as opposed to somebody like Damian Priest, who was street trash. So, at the very least, he's consistent with his messaging.
He seems like a straight shooter. You know, listen, I didn't like the street trash stuff, but other than that, he's usually like, yeah, I almost lost that match. Probably would have lost this match if not for so-and-so. Like, he's at least an honest character in most senses. Some things that at least lend to our agendas being accurate. BetOnline AG, our great partner, has John Cena as one of the favorites in the Rumble, has him as a favorite to, I think, at least compete for a title at WrestleMania and to win a world title next year, which all of which I think could very well happen. I like that we are all, I mean, it'll be September soon, and there's nobody that jumps off the page on either side as like, oh, well, we already know that they are the ones that should be the favorite to win the Royal Rumble. I like that. Like, there's a whole bunch of opportunities right now.
Yeah. Compare that to last year where it's like, it's Cody Roman again. We know it's going. We're just waiting for that. It's just how we get there that we're still unsure about. But that it's cool that we're in uncharted territories. We haven't been there in a while.
Friends, I will encourage you to leave a thumbs up. Please subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. But I want to thank this fella over here for joining. Let the people know, as if they don't know already, where they can find you, where they can find you, some of the stuff that you do. Man, you are a wonderful member of this wrestling media and have cultivated an incredible community.
Yeah, thank you for that. I appreciate that. Right back at you, for sure. Santi's app, the YouTube channel, if you're looking for daily wrestling videos, whether it's commentary on things that are going on right now, going back into the past and looking at things that I like that I didn't like, really, like, it's nothing that I focus on more of the perspective of a wrestling fan as opposed to the journalistic side. So if you're looking for the experience of having somebody to watch alongside on the couch with you, That's the type of YouTube channel that you're getting. That's the type of live stream that you're getting. So different, a bit of a taste than what else you might be getting in the industry right now. So come check it out. It's everything Santi's app, whether it's live streams, YouTube videos, for the health of my mental health. I'm really off of Twitter these days, but still go follow it over there.
I should be, buddy. Mm-hmm. I should be, buddy. Guys, thank you all so much. We are right back here tomorrow with a post-NXT show. Grapsity aired yesterday. Listen, you got infinite content. I interviewed Maven. That guy's never done anything on YouTube. You know what? I might get into his face this Wednesday at the Black Label Pro Combine. I might show him how it's done. I might teach him how to dropkick a thing or two. We'll see. But guys, until next time, we are out.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try.